In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You have heard people talk before about the breakdown of the American family and soaring divorce rates, the alarming number of people who are children born out of wedlock, absentee fathers, and the like. But no matter how depraved and immoral we may think our society is today, we should bear in mind that we're not much different than previous generations. St. Paul addresses problems of sexual immorality in his letter to the Corinthians some 2,000 years ago, and it's clear from what he writes there that they had nothing on us, or we have nothing on them, rather. And the same thing is true. You go back 1,000 years before that, and you find these commandments in the Old Testament condemning all kinds of sexual sins, so evidently they were a problem there as well. Specifically, you will find in one of the commandments of the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 22, we learn that if a woman was betrothed to a man, but slept with another man before marrying her husband, she and the one with whom she had fornicated were to be put to death. Now, why do I bring this up on the last Sunday before Christmas? Why am I talking about old covenant laws and fornicators and the like? Well, I do so because it may give us some insight into Saint Joseph, the man who was betrothed to Mary, the mother of our Lord. Can you imagine what a guy would go through to find out his betrothed, I mean, roughly something like a fiance, turns up pregnant, and you know you're not the father? Can you imagine the emotions that are experienced by that man, the humiliation, pain, disappointment, resentment, sadness? I mean, these are some of the emotions that might get close to describing what somebody would go through in this situation. And I suspect that another emotion that would be experienced, perhaps the strongest emotion that a man would experience, is the deep betrayal that would lead to anger. Most men would consider this blatant unfaithfulness a slap in the face, an insult to their pride. For this, what would you want? You'd want retribution, if not, you know, all-out revenge. It'd be really tempting for someone who was embarrassed and felt betrayed like this to invoke this old covenant law and call for the disgrace and the public disgracing of this unfaithful partner. And, you know, pressing charges like this wouldn't only get your revenge, it would also clear your own name, so that people didn't think that you were up to shenanigans or fornicating before the wedding. But Joseph doesn't do anything like this. Instead, he resolved to spare Mary any humiliation and disgrace. As we read in Matthew's gospel, he resolved to divorce her quietly. And by divorcing her, it meant that she wasn't going to be his problem, but she wouldn't be publicly condemned either. St. Matthew sums up the situation by informing us that Joseph chose to spare Mary because he was a just man, or a righteous man. Even though he's crushed and upset that he's not going to be married, and he must have felt that he'd been terribly wronged, he still had compassion. He didn't take out revenge. He even had in mind what was best for Mary and her baby. Joseph was ready to show mercy on his betrothed, and for this reason, he's called righteous or just. And in order to be considered a righteous person, of course, one would certainly have to outwardly keep the law. You couldn't be a gross violator of the laws, but you also must have the proper attitude of the heart. In Joseph, we see an attitude of compassion and mercy. We see a person who's willing to forgive. And this certainly is an attribute of one who's righteous. But perhaps those who understand forgiveness the best are those who understand how much they themselves have needed it. You know, we don't know much about Joseph. We don't know much about his history, where he come from, what he went through, what kinds of things he was into. But if we speculate a little, maybe the reason Joseph was able to show mercy to Mary, even though he thought she'd betrayed him, was because, well, he knew God was merciful to him. Maybe he had needed mercy and forgiveness from the Lord, and so he knew how to be patient with others and extend that to others. By forgiving Mary and having pity on her, Joseph showed he understood what it meant to need and receive mercy. And this is probably why God chose a man like Joseph to be the earthly father of Jesus. Not because he's, you know, super wealthy and successful or holds some highfalutin title in society. Not that he's perfect and holy in every way. But rather because he understood the importance of mercy and forgiveness. Jesus' whole purpose in life and reason for being born on this earth was to secure forgiveness for mankind. Therefore, how fitting that the man who would play the role of his earthly father would be one who shared the heart of God and that he was merciful and quick to forgive. You know, as the story unfolds, it turns out Joseph didn't even need to forgive Mary. She hadn't done anything wrong. Mary wasn't in need of forgiveness. She hadn't been immoral or unfaithful, and this was made clear to Joseph by an angel of the Lord who appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Notice that the angel not only calmed Joseph's troubled heart concerning Mary's pregnancy, he also let it be known, even before Jesus was born, that his goal and purpose for being born was to bring forgiveness. This is why he would be given the name Jesus, which means the Lord saves. Because again, Jesus' entire reason for being born was the forgiveness of sins. How fitting then that this seemingly illegitimate son who could have been the cause of public disgrace and judgment of his mother actually turned out to be the source and the sender of forgiveness of sins for all people. And Jesus truly is the source and center of all forgiveness. I mean, even before Jesus was around, of course, people were forgiving one another, but they still forgave because they knew that they themselves needed forgiveness and they believed that there is a God who's willing to forgive. God's faithful people in the Old Testament understood this. I mean, consider what we've already said in our worship service this morning, and it's right out of the Psalms. What do we say? "If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared." The Lord is a loving and forgiving God, and the forgiveness of sins has always been central to this one true faith of the people of God. Because ever since the fall of man, mankind has recognized that we are sinful. We're not what our Creator made us to be. All of us, consequently, stand in dire need of God's mercy. And while the Scriptures indeed tell us that we are sinful, they make us aware of our unrighteousness in many different ways, they call out sins, they expose us for what we are as sinners, but the Scriptures are not the only way we come to understand sin and understand our need for forgiveness. We can figure that out even without the Bible. Even without the Bible, those who don't know Christ and even those who foolishly say there is no God still know they need forgiveness. And they know this because they experience feelings of guilt and shame. They have a vague idea of what perfection is. We all do. And yet we also know we're unable to accomplish it. We understand that even though we may desire to do good things, quite often we find ourselves doing that which we know isn't good. And while we may not understand, and while those outside of the faith may not understand sin as well as those who have the Scriptures, which clearly reveal God's law, nevertheless, the law is still written on all of our hearts. And our conscience bears witness and even convicts us that we stand in need of forgiveness. No honest person can say that they haven't needed forgiveness. And since this is the case, all who have acknowledged the one true God have acknowledged that they are in need of his forgiveness because we've sinned against him. And we've also acknowledged that he is a God who's willing to forgive. Now, as was said, all forgiveness centers in Christ Jesus, and this is because it was through him that God chose to bring about the forgiveness of sins and the redemption of the world. From the beginning, God promised he himself would provide a way out for man's forgiveness. He didn't leave it up to us to save ourselves. He didn't leave us guessing as to whether or not we would be saved. He only told us to trust in him, that he would find a way to save us, and Jesus Christ was and is that way of salvation. He's the way in which God himself has earned forgiveness and salvation for mankind. He did this first by becoming a man and then by allowing himself to be sacrificed on a cross on our behalf. And here we see the close connection between the events of Christmas and Easter, because we can never celebrate Christ's incarnation and birth without keeping in mind that Christ was born in order to die for sin and rise again for our salvation. We should remember this at all times, and even at Christmas time, that trustworthy saying that Paul says, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And just as Christ came to forgive sinners, so also we should forgive one another. Since God is one who sees our sins and doesn't hold them against us, so also we shouldn't hold others' sins against them. Isn't this what Christ taught us to pray? Isn't it what we say all the time? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And when we do this, when we forgive those who sin against us, we show that we understand Christ's reason for coming to this earth. We show that we too have needed forgiveness. We show the love of God by doing unto others as he has first done to us. We show the kind of unselfish love for others that Joseph showed for Mary. For even though it seemed like he was terribly wrong, still he thought it more important to forgive and not hold her sins against her. He showed forgiveness, and for this, he was called righteous. In the same way, when we forgive others when they sin against us, then we show that we understand forgiveness, the true forgiveness that comes from Christ, and clinging to his forgiveness, we too are righteous. This Christmas, as we remember and celebrate the birth of our Lord, remember also the example of Saint Joseph, a righteous man. For he was quick to forgive, and so are all who belong to Christ and are counted righteous for his sake. Amen.